Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, where we read as follows in the name of Jesus. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This parable that Jesus tells us about the Pharisee and the tax collector teaches us how to pray. Now, some folks don't think that we really need instructions on how to pray. You just do what comes naturally. Just say whatever comes to your mind. There are no rules. You're in charge. But that's just not true. You must know how to pray before you can pray. The Pharisee didn't know how to pray. The tax collector did know how to pray. Now, I'm not talking about knowing the very words to use. If you don't know what words to use, the best prayer to pray is always the Lord's Prayer that the Lord Jesus taught us. We pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now that is the perfect prayer, and those are the very words that are given us to pray by the Lord Jesus. But most of the time that we're praying, when we're by ourselves, when nobody is around, we choose the words. To say that prayer requires instruction on how to do it is not necessarily to say that we need to know how to use words. No, the Pharisee was very good with words, and he said many words. The tax collector didn't say very many words at all, but they were the right words. So then, how do you pray? We consider who God is and who we are. And in considering this question, we will know the correct posture for prayer. Now, it's commonly held view that prayer is to give thanks to God, to praise Him. And if you look at much of the popular worship that is in style today, in churches where there's no chancel, there's really no pulpit or altar, you have praise bands, and they sing praise songs. And the general thrust of these songs is thanksgiving. Those who promote this type of worship will often criticize traditional worship as being irrelevant, dull, boring, and perhaps even depressing. And they talk about exciting and uplifting and joyful worship. But when you consider what the word prayer means, prayer means to ask. It is to call upon God. Now, who's asking whom? The tax collector understood. The Pharisee did not. The Pharisee gave thanks. The tax collector didn't thank God for anything. The tax collector came and begged for mercy. If you look at the traditional church service, it begins with the words, "Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us." It's called the Kyrie. That marks the beginning of the service proper, and that's how to pray. The correct posture in prayer is to beg God for mercy. Now, this isn't to say that we can't praise God, that we shouldn't praise God, that we shouldn't thank God. We should, but we need to put first things first. Who are you to stand before God? Answer that. Who do you think you are to presume to pray to God? Now, the Pharisee's prayer begins by thanking God. Well, that sounds good enough, but then he continues, "I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." So here, this prayer of the Pharisee centers in how good and worthy he is, of course, giving God all the credit for the fact that the Pharisee is better than other people. Well, when we first look at the Pharisee's prayer, and we see that clearly this isn't the way God wants us to pray, yet you can't deny that there's something quite appealing about this man. He condemns extortion. Well, do you want an extortioner in your church as your neighbor? People who rip off their neighbor financially by threatening them with this or that are a scourge on any community. Cheats and liars. Are these the people you want in your church, in your community? Adulterers who destroy marriage and rip families apart? Wouldn't you rather have a Pharisee living in your neighborhood? You wouldn't have to lock your doors at night. Here's a man that fasts twice a week, more than what he's required. And he tithes more than required. How's the church going to pay its bills when people are too stingy to give anything? Well, the Pharisees gave much more than the law required so the church could pay her bills. Now, that is not a bad way to live, to be faithful to your wife, to speak the truth and not rip people off, to give to support the work of the church. Are you going to criticize that? Are you going to say that there's something wrong with that? Doesn't every religion promote that sort of thing? The problem of the Pharisee is that he thought that that made him good enough for God. He trusted in himself that he was righteous, and he looked down on others. And this outward righteousness that the Pharisee had was simply not sufficient, certainly not to come into the presence of Almighty God. The tax collector, who had a rather dishonorable occupation, who had made money by, well, extortion, ripping other people off, thereby cheating and yes, lying. This man, he understood how to pray. He understood the right posture. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Or another version of that goes like this. O God, the Father in heaven, have mercy upon us. O God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy upon us. O God, the Holy Ghost, true Comforter, have mercy upon us. Now, this Kyrie this Lord have mercy upon us, is often combined with a confession and absolution in the church service. Historically, they are quite distinct. In fact, years ago, there was no corporate confession and absolution in the church service. This was introduced in the Lutheran Church anyway, after the private confession and absolution had fallen into general disuse. People just stopped going to confession, and so they decided to put the confession into the public church service on a Sunday morning. But that is a relatively recent invention in the church, a couple hundred years, I suppose. But what actually began the service years ago was what we know today as the introit, or entrance psalm, or perhaps hymn, and then the Kyrie. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. Now, the reason I'm talking a little bit about the history of the liturgy is that we understand how Christ's church has viewed the correct posture of prayer. It doesn't start off by praising. It starts off by pleading. We don't begin the worship by giving thanks and praise. We begin the worship by bowing down before God and begging Him for mercy. Now, the tax collector is asking for a specific kind of mercy, not just the general mercy that we ask for God when we pray the Kyrie and sing it today, but what the tax collector was specifically asking for was that God would forgive him his sins, that God would look at him graciously, that he would set aside his anger. That's what this word mercy means. It means literally, be propitiated to me. That is, don't be angry at me, but forgive me for the sake of the Savior who will shed his blood and die for me. That's what the tax collector was praying. That's how he's starting the whole worship. He recognizes that he's a sinner, literally the sinner. God be merciful to me, the sinner. No one but him. God is just you and me. Now, there is a corporate side to prayer. We pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. There's always that corporate side. The body of Christ gathers together. But there's also a very personal side, and that is, it's just you, the sinner, and God. And how do you approach him? Be merciful to me. I plead your mercy, not just some generic kind of vague mercy that maybe you show pity to people because you feel sorry for them. No, he is pleading the mercy that God offers in Christ. He's pleading the forgiveness of sins that comes from Christ's blood, and he goes home justified, where God says, this man's righteous before me. The Pharisee doesn't go home justified, but the tax collector does, because he has God's mercy. He has Christ. Prayer is something that we must learn. It's a discipline. It's not just emoting, as if our emotions are the basis for prayer. Sinners who beg God for mercy for Jesus' sake, does God ever turn them away? Does God tell them to get lost? Or does God receive them for Christ's sake, wash them clean of their sins, and fill them with his Spirit, who gives them confidence to stand before God as righteous saints? We pray and God answers. The posture of prayer begins on our knees, but then God, not we, but God, brings genuine praise from our hearts and mouths by justifying us and letting us know it, and so we can praise God. Amen. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. Christ for Us is sponsored by congregations of First Confessional Lutheran Parish. We'd like to invite you to attend services at the congregations of our parish every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock at First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, Sunday morning at 9:30 at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and Sunday morning at 11:30 at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville. And please tune in next Sunday morning, same time, for the next broadcast of Christ for us.